Hey, good morning to you guys out there. Good morning to you guys that are here with us in person. I want to give a shout out. This is a very important shout out, okay? This is to Miss Fenella and her husband. I want to tell y'all something. She wrote me and she said that they just got saved around Christmas time. I want to tell you something. Praise the Lord God Almighty. I want to tell you guys, that is God's heart. That's what we're even doing up here, okay? That's what any ministry is about. That is about, we're about saving souls. And we can't do it, right? It's Jesus Christ. He's the one who does all the work, okay? You're a tool. You're a vessel to let him flow through you and to draw others to the light that's in you, who is Jesus Christ, okay? So I just want to welcome you guys to the body of Christ. Y'all are what I call new baby Christians, but I want to tell you something. You can be a new baby Christian and you can go to church and you can grow up fast. The Bible talks about God doing a quick work, or you can sit there and you can be a little stagnant, stale little thing that just sits there and you don't grow and you don't change and you don't get revelation and you don't, right? But you can really grow up quick in the Lord, okay? I know you asked me some questions in your email. I just want to let you know I am going to get back to you, okay? But I want to tell you that when God removed those scales from you and your husband's eyes, all of heaven was celebrating. When anybody really and sincerely from their heart comes to Jesus Christ and makes him Lord of their life, all of heaven goes into celebration mode. All around the throne. Can you imagine God's heart? And right now, I've got Holy Spirit moving on me. I may not talk about those things much. We may not seem like a salvation ministry, but I want to tell you something. That is the very work that God's doing in this ministry. We're in some perilous, dark times. And he is calling his children, the lost and dying souls out there. He's drawing them to himself. If you will hear his call. Some people's hearts are so hardened, they don't hear God calling them. And he could be yelling, and they're not hearing it. So I praise God, Miss Fenella, that you and your husband heard him and you came to him. Glory to God. Thank you for sharing that with me. I know there's you guys out there who get saved and come back to the Lord, and there's been a lot of y'all that share that with me. And it blesses us to hear those things, okay? But it blesses and praises him first and foremost, okay? I want to just give a quick shout out to Misty. I see you out there commenting, and praise the Lord that these messages are ministering to you, because it's him flowing through us out to you guys. And you guys, when you give feedback and prayer and encouraging words, you minister back to us, okay? So God bless you, Misty, Miss Angela. And I want to say to Miss Sia or Sia or Miss Shaw, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, S-I-A. You gave a scripture that was a powerful scripture in Psalms. Thank you for that. And Mr. Ken, God bless you. You have blessed this ministry greatly, and I thank you for that. And that's God's heart, that we all work together as the body. And Mr. Ken is an encouragement. God bless you, Mr. Ken. One more thing I want to tell you guys. If you've been tracking along with this series, we're still on Mark of the Beast 666. This one is part 10. Today I'm going to be talking about Illuminati logos of sun worship. Now, I want to just for a minute talk about last week. Last week was part number 9, and it was about sun worship in the Catholic Church. And there is a reason why I spoke about the Catholic Church. Remember, they think they're the mother church and that all other churches and religions sprang out of them. And you guys know who've watched this ministry that there ain't no mother in the situation, okay? We have a Father, we have a Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. There ain't no mother. God covers it all right? And So what I want to tell you is, that is why I was bringing that out about the Catholic Church, as well as the hierarchy of how this world is being controlled right now. You know, the world fell into sin. It got turned over to Satan. You can see that when he tempted Jesus, because he offered Jesus all these things. The reason why he was able to offer Jesus anything is because he knew it had been turned over to him when Adam and Eve botched it up, okay? So we know that he's called the God of this world for right now, and Jesus is soon to be coming back and taking the title deed back to this earth. He's already given us the victory in him, okay? We can live right now victorious lives, even though we have trial and hardships and persecution. So I talked about the Catholic Church because that's all the Vatican and all their hoopty-doo, right? They're right underneath Satan's little hierarchy with the fallen angels and demons. The Vatican and the Jesuits and the secret societies right there, okay? So I had to hit hard and bring that out and show you how bad it is in that church. But that's not the only church. But okay, I just want to tell you that we have seen that message already getting attacked heavily. We just put it out last night. They, you know, Scott always thinks glitch, right? I always think attack. Either way, it don't matter. They put it into private mode. Neither he nor I did that. So then when you realize that the video was went into private mode after people had already started watching it, you have to go and click it and make it public. So that was going on. This morning I get up, there were Satanists already coming against that message. I've deleted their comments. You know, I don't leave that kind of stuff out there if I catch it and I can help it. I published it on Facebook, and they're already coming against it there. So I just want to tell you that when you're putting out hard truths, and a lot of the ministries online, they know this, that even truthers who may not be uplifting the Lord, but they're talking about truth because Jesus Christ is truth, they get attacked because the devil is against truth, okay? But I want to tell y'all something. There was a time when I was able to make comments and come back to you guys with almost every single YouTube comment or Facebook comment or messages wherever I get them. And I'm not able to do that right now, but I do want to tell y'all, if it's any comfort to you, that for the most part, I feel like I am seeing your comments and I'm getting your messages. I'm still receiving them and reading them, okay? And the things that you guys share are blessing me and my family and this ministry, okay? So, and know that if it really seems like a real urgent thing, I'm trying to respond to those, okay? I ask God to lead and guide me, but I'm not able to keep up with it like I was, okay? So just bear with me, you guys. God's building and growing this ministry, and let's just keep our eyes focused on him, okay? And I do want to say one more thing, talking about Fenella and her husband being new, you know, baby Christians. We all had to start out as a baby, right? When we were born again, bam, we were babies and we had to grow. I am going to be bringing some what I call biblical teachings. I have those out there. Some people say, do you teach on the Bible? Yeah, if you look at our church website or YouTube, you can get down to just a message on how to pray. You can get down to a message on strictly hell. There are messages like that, okay, as well as exposing all of the evil that's currently going on. But I'm going to do some teachings like on new Christians, how to get rooted and grounded, how to get going, you know, what do you do, how do you study, how do you seek the Lord, how do you seek his face and not his hand and stuff like that. We're going to do communion, fasting. We have different things that we need to hit on, okay, because not only are we exposing the things that are going on in the end times, but we also need to disciple, okay? You guys have to know how to get in warfare mode and how to fight against the kingdom of darkness and kick the gates in and bring the captives out, right? And so that means you got to handle you and your house first and foremost before you can help anybody else, right? Okay, so let's get down to it, y'all. This is part 10, Illuminati logos of sun worship. Now look at this first picture. Now, this is ancient Egyptian sun worship. And I want to, you know, for you guys out there, you know, who know all about the Anunnaki and all of this, what used to be on Saturday Night Live back in the day with coneheads. Look at that tallest lady. If that's not about a conehead, Okay. Now, they say that's Nephilim, that they had the bigger heads and all of the elongated whatever, and they made these big hats to go over them. And you can find out there scientists who have found these kind of skulls and things. Okay. But what I want you to see in this picture, because I'm not real sure what's going on, I would say that first one's a Nephilim, because there's another one standing behind her. And look behind her. There's another one. And that don't look like no baby. None of them look like babies. So I'm like, okay. But my point for this picture is, you see that sun? And you see the rays coming down? And on the end of those rays, they say in the research that I did, that's supposed to be like hands reaching down. Okay? Like blessing and receiving, okay? Now look at her, all three of them. They're offering. They're making offerings up to that sun god. Okay? Who is Horus? Who is Osiris? Who is Nimrod? Who is Satan? And we're going to get more into that next week. I'm really hoping to wrap this up at least in one or two more messages. And I'm going to show you the very thing that God led me to, which even this series came out of. Okay? But right now, I want to go to Scripture. Talking about this sun worship that, like I always thought, was back then, back in the day. And didn't realize that it never went away. It never got stamped out. It never got defeated and smashed out of here. It's still here, alive and well, just like what we see that lady doing. Okay? But we have to realize, more than what we think about the sun, moon, and stars in the sky, they were worshiping entities. They were worshiping those fallen angels who came down with those names. Mercury, Jupiter, Venus, all of this, right? Saturn. And Nimrod allowed himself to be worshipped as a god. And the god he was worshipped as was the sun god. Okay, let's look at Numbers 25, 1 through 5. And Israel abode in Shittim. And the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, which means the Lord of Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. Now, I want to tell you a little background to this little story right here. And Scott always helps me out with scriptures when I don't pull them. But when you read the story of Balak and Balaam, whenever he went to have him speak curses over the children of Israel, and God didn't allow him to do that. Which one was it that was hiring? Was it Balaam hiring Balak or Balak hiring Balaam? I get them. Okay, I get them confused. So Scott said Balak was hiring Balaam. Okay, God would not allow him to curse what he had called blessed, and he still don't do that today. So every time he was trying to speak out a cursing over them, it came out a blessing. And the guy who was hiring him was getting mad, like, what is wrong with you? And it went through, and he kept on blessing the people. He would be like, okay, let's do it over here. Let's set it up, and now you curse them. And he would go to curse them, and it would be a blessing. And he'd be mad at him, and then they'd go over here and do it again. And then again, he was like, okay, I'm going to curse them, and it would be a blessing. And God said, you can't curse what I have called blessed. So, okay. Then he decided to share with him some strategy. Now, you think God don't know what his intention was in sharing that? So what he told him was, if you will get your people, your men, to mix with the women over here of Peor, then your men will fall into idolatry, and you can conquer them that way. That was a pretty powerful thing that happened. And it did not please God because his people went for it. Okay, so that's what they did right there. They went right into idolatry, right into Baal worship, which is worshiping the sun. Okay, Nimrod. Now, in studying the scripture, because this really stood out to me, when they did that, remember this was Old Testament. We didn't have the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ to come to him or not. They still had free will back then. Obey the Father or not, okay? Offer your sacrifices and have his blessing upon you and your house or not, okay? And he told them, you shall have no other gods before me. And that means there are other gods. They're demonic and satanic, but he's the one true and living God. So, okay, when they went and did this, he told Moses, hang them up before the Lord. And yes, that means literally hang them. It means kill them before the Lord. But not did he just say before the Lord. He said against the sun. There's something to that, y'all. Listen to this. When you study into that scripture, Gill's exposition says the meaning is, and which all the Targums give into, that these heads of the people were to assemble at some proper place, the court of judicature, and order the delinquents to be brought before them and try, judge, and condemn those they found guilty and cause them to be hanged somewhere near the tabernacle and before it, having neglected the worship of God there and served an idol. And this was to be done openly in the daytime that all might see and fear. God will make an example of those who do these things. Out in the open, he's not about secrets. And it says, and if it was the sun that was worshipped in this idol, as some think, they were hanged against the sun to show that the idol they worshipped was not able to deliver them, but in the face of it, and as it were in defiance of it, they were ordered to be hanged up. And this, according to the Targum of Jonathan, was in the morning against the rising sun. Remember, when they were worshiping the sun, they had three different gods: the rising, the one at noontime, and the setting, the newborn, the fading away, and the old or the dead sun, right? And that went through that cycle daily. So they were hung out in the morning against the rising sun, where they hung all day and were taken down at sun setting. So God left them out there all day long so the people could see. The rising sun didn't deliver them. The noonday sun didn't deliver them. Nor did the setting sun deliver them or do anything for that matter. Man, God was always telling his children to stay out of idolatry. And he was always saying, why are you making idols to bow down to who the idol can't see, can't talk, can't speak, can't move, can't do anything, can't save? None of that. Now, we know behind those things were demonic powers and forces. But you know what? God is the one. He's in control of it all. So here they were. He made an example out of them, right in front of their God, the sun. This is how serious that God takes worshiping the sun. Whether it be bowing down to the round sun in the sky or bowing down to little baby demon Tammuz, who we brought him out plenty, that the Catholic Church believes is or says is Jesus Christ, and we know it's Tammuz, okay? Or bowing down to Osiris, Horus, the all-seeing eye, any of that, and all of it is sun worship. God takes it very serious. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. Is this idolatry happening today? We're going to find out. And we've been finding out all through this message series how strong it is in today's society. Look at this next picture. This is the Freemasons. This is one of their little logos that is out online. And I want to tell you something. Like I've been saying, these secret societies, I don't even know why we're calling them secret societies anymore, because they're advertising everywhere. They got shirts and jewelry and bumper stickers, and they are not hidden all out trying to be secret anymore. All of their information is online. You can find this stuff. It's like there's a time now that Satan is so proud that, see, they were kind of like undercover for a while, right? But now they're right out in the open, because their attitude is, it's kind of like two people that are about to fight, and you know how they kind of do that to see who's going to back off, right? And he's kind of doing that at us. And it's kind of like, what about it? What are you going to do, right? Okay, so this, with the Freemasons, with the Mormon, looking at this image, okay, you see the square and the compass, and that G, which stands for many things, but it does not stand for the Lord God Almighty. It does not stand for Yahweh, Yeshua, or Ruach HaKodesh, who's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Ain't nothing about him in there. They say God. They say the great architect, the great creator. They say geometry. They say, oh my, generative, what is that principle? Whatever, starts with a G. They got all kinds of stuff in that G. Okay, but it's nothing to do with the Lord God in heaven. Okay, that triangle up top with the eye in it, that one's supposed to be Horus. I could really care less about this left eye, right eye business, because they have an eye for each one. One's for Osiris, one's for Horus. Somebody got their eye damaged, pulled out, whatever. And this whole big story, I don't even care about that junk. God has two eyes, okay? That's what we need to know. So, and see the sun rays coming off of that thing, because it's talking about sun worship. And all of this ties into Satan, because who is he to the, think about Illuminati when you break that down. They like to think that they are the illuminated ones, okay? And Satan, Lucifer being the light bringer, light bearer, the enlightener. That's where they're getting all this junk, okay? Now, this is in, like we talked about last week, the Catholic Church, hot and heavy, because they think they're ruling all religions in the world, right? The Mormon Church, Jehovah's Witness, Islam. Now, that's just some of the big players. Don't even get me started on all the different religions, okay? And how that all started with Satan anyway, because what you really need is God's holy word and Jesus Christ. You don't need a religion. You need the word of God and to follow Jesus Christ, okay? It ain't about all this other junk. That's where all this is coming from too. Now, it's in our top governments. It's in our militaries, in the top. I'm not saying the guy who just enlisted knows anything about this stuff, okay? It's in our big corporations. They are bowing down to the sun. And it may seem ridiculous to you, because when you say the sun, you keep thinking about the sun in the sky, and you think, I don't see anybody praying to that thing. Remember, that's their little spin on it, because they're really bowing down to Lucifer when they incorporate all of this stuff. And you have to remember, it's behind all of that. There was Osiris. There was, what's his face? Horus, Tammuz, Nimrod. That's where it all, they allowed him to come in, like we have Holy Spirit coming in. They allowed Satan to take them over, and they were worshipped just like a god, okay? Because it boiled down to worshiping him. Okay, it's still happening right now today. Now, that's who the secret societies and the Masons worship. They might have their different little sects of it, okay? The Royal Arch Purple, the, 33rd degree. Over here you got the Skull and Bones. Over here you got the Mother of Darkness. It don't matter how you want to slice it, what label you want to put on it, what their little rules are for doing what they're doing. It's the same thing that's happening in the church with all these different denominations. It's like when you cut it down to it, they're worshiping Satan. Okay, so for us who are worshiping Jesus Christ, cut all that denomination junk and get to the Bible and get to Jesus Christ. Okay, so when you look at the secret societies, that's what they're about. That's who they're worshiping. And it is happening. You know, I've been beaten down on Christmas. We're past Christmas, but I'm still going to give it another kick. Okay, that's with the evergreen trees that are being brought into most people's homes. Look how many homes they have spun that lie out, and we're all dragging it in our homes. Not this home anymore, but I used to. Okay, we got one somebody dumped on the side of the road on the way to the church. And we drive by and I say, look at little Nimrod. And I say, I don't feel sorry for him at all. And Kennedy's like, oh, Mom, that's just a tree, which is true. But it was used to honor and worship the sun god, okay? So that's an altar. I heard an ex-witch testifying about this. And he said that he had now come into the church. And he said the church was being a stumbling block because he knew what all of that stuff meant when he was in witchcraft and what they did with all of that stuff. He said those are altars to Nimrod. And he said now it's inside the churches. And Santa Claus is inside the churches. And he was like, I can't stand or can't look at that stuff because I know what it means. And he's like, the Christians are all about it. You see that? Now it's the opposite. Those who were in it and come out know what it means. And the church is like, what? What are we doing wrong? Wow. Okay, so listen to this. Why do we think God is okay with that same idolatry that's still happening today? I mean, isn't that kind of like a disease that just isn't getting kicked? It just keeps going, right? We still got those trees way back when. Semiramis said, cut them down, get them in your house, and put gold and silver balls on them. And it's still happening. That's pretty powerful. And God still stands against it. We're serving the same God. He hasn't changed, and he still hates idolatry. And you see what he did to those guys. He had them hanged up, which means murdered. They were killed, and they were hanging against the sun, the very thing that they were worshiping. And it didn't save them. And you think just because everybody's getting away with a bunch of stuff today that, must not be so, Miss Sherry, because I brought that Christmas tree in, and I ain't getting hung up nowhere, right? I'm just doing what I gotta do. You watch. There's coming a judgment day. Right now, we're under grace because of Jesus Christ, and he's calling you out of that idolatry, and he's saying, stop it and live holy because I'm holy. You can't justify sin, okay? So now, I want to share it with something with y'all. We're going to switch gears for a minute. Reoccurring Illuminati motifs and logos in advertising include but are not limited to. This is some of the things that they use to represent idolatry in the form of sun worship. The compass and the square, which we just talked about, okay? There's a dot in a circle, which I learned about during this message series. The Eye of Horus. The rising sun, like the swoosh, like sometimes you see these swoosh lines. That's like as in the horizon. The compass and square, 666, and they hide that in plain sight. Two towers. We talked about those towers, okay, when we talked about the Lord of the Rings and all that. Star of David, pentagrams, and pyramids without capstones, and actually pyramids, period, and triangles, all of that. These symbols are used by those sold out to Satan as a signal of their domination to insiders. So, you know, we've talked about it before. Say you're somebody that, you know, and you don't even have to have a good idea. A lot of these guys, when they're being broken or they are heeding God's call and they're coming out of it, and then they testify and share what was going on when they were in it, when they were in the idolatry and in the occult, they share. Somebody shared with me, and I'm going to bring a message on it. I got so much to get to. But it's about the music industry. And I wanted to say that they were, I can't remember if it was Michael Jackson. It was like two big singers. And how they were talking about how demons were giving them their songs. We think, oh, they're so talented. Wrong. When you ain't using your talent for God, someone else is flowing and blessing you and anointing you to do those things. And they openly talked about how demons were giving them their songs. Now, people want to dispute how the Bible wasn't written by no Holy Spirit. When God moves on you and he causes it just to flow, and it's his spirit flowing through those guys. Same thing with Satan. Guess what? When that's who you're serving and bowing down to, and boom, I'm writing a song and it's totally demonic. Okay? And the world is eating it up. So when they do that, so then they get in business, let's say, and Satan's blessing that business, blessing the socks off of it's what we hear. They put his something to uplift and worship and honor him many times in either the name, the colors, the logo. Usually they fit it in somehow. And then the rest of them who are in those groups, they know, oh, that's a fellow brother. They're one of us, right? It's the same thing with the churches. You know, when your heart is on God, you choose godly things, right? And you're supposed to be able to recognize each other. But I want to tell you, when your eyes get open to this stuff, you can see some of this stuff in some big ministries. And it's sad to see some of their logos and things that, I'll just put it this way, can be questioned. Okay? So, talking about the dot in the circle, because I want y'all to learn this, because I didn't know. The real shocker is the importance given this sign by Adam Weishaupt and the Order of the Illuminati. Remember, he was the one of the founders who got it all organized and started the thing up back in the 1700s. So we're talking about the circle and the dot, or the dot in the circle. Burns explains, because Illuminism was so determined, you remember the enlightened ones, they were so determined to keep the true nature of the order under wraps. Its founder, Weishaupt, ordered that the actual words Illuminati and Illuminism never be used in correspondence. So it's kind of like that thing where you have your little secret club, and in case somebody gets one of our letters, we don't want them to know what we're talking about. So they decided, let's not use those words. Let's come up with something else, okay? So Weishaupt ordered that the actual words never be used in correspondence. Instead, they were to be replaced by the astrological symbol for the sun. Now see, I don't study astrology, so that never dawned on me, okay? But the symbol for the sun in astrology is the circle with a dot in the middle. Burns also gives evidence that the point within the circle was used by the Druids of Britain, whose stone temples were circular with a single stone erected in the center. They believed this design conferred magical powers. And don't you know those witches and Satanists and everything else, they're always drawing their circle and putting their junk in the middle of it, right? Those are portals and everything else. They're salt circles and all the junk that they do. So let's look at this first picture. So here we go. There's the sun. And then in the middle, there's his symbol. And look over there to the right. What does that look like, right? And I always thought it was target, the bullseye. The bullseye, what does that tell you? Okay, remember in Hebrew, remember how when we saw that about the when they were putting the blood on the doorpost and you broke that down and it said strong leader, which was usually like a little picture of an ox, okay, a bull, same thing with horns. And then you saw the nail and then the cross and you knew that was talking about Jesus Christ. Well, another name for Nimrod is the horned god. Bullseye. Okay. All right, so look at this big old logo, because I'm going to beat on target for a minute. Remember, these huge corporations have sold out to Satan, okay? In their name, colors, and logos, you're going to see allegiance to him. We just haven't known about all this junk because we're not studying the same stuff they do, right? We're supposed to be, and still are, studying the Word of God to show ourselves approved, okay? And dividing it, rightly dividing it. A lot of people are dividing it wrong and they're fighting about it, okay? But God has called me to look into the enemy's camp so that we can have a clue about him and take him down to come against this stuff and wake people up who are into this junk and don't even realize it. Some of them don't. Most of them know openly what they're doing. Okay, when you get up to the top, you know what you're doing. So they're about money. And this store recently changed their policy stating that transgender people can use their restroom or fitting room of their choice regardless of their biological genetic gender. So how God made your body, where when you have a baby, a man and a woman can look at that baby and automatically know if it's a boy or a girl. They're saying, you can just bypass that. However you feel today, whatever gender you feel like you are today, you can use that restroom or that fitting room. I'm going to tell you something. That's blasphemy against God and Christians. And us here at this ministry, we're boycotting Target. I don't have to shop there. There's other places I can go. It's like, you don't want my business bad enough when you're allowing that kind of stuff to happen. Because, and don't you know, the crazies come out. Because that's all they're waiting for, is an opportunity. And then they go, I thought everything was okay. Don't we hear that kind of junk? What was that Urkel kid? Did I do that? Please, you did it, and you knew you did it. You planned it. You intended on doing it. You got purposely dressed and motivated and came to the store just waiting on your opportunity. Same thing you see those predators do, man, like at the zoos, at the different people where little kids hang out. Come on. And so, no, I'm not shopping at Target. I don't care how desperate something gets, I ain't going in there. And you hear about these guys going in there, and you know, the feet are pointing towards the toilet, and little girls are like, "What, you know, what's that about?" And you hear about them trying to grab the little kids and stuff, and it's like, it's sick is what it is, okay? So I'm going to get off of that right now, but I wanted you to see Target boldly has the big circle with the dot in the middle, and that is for sun worship. Why do you think they went along with saying, just use whatever bathroom makes you happy, or a fitting room? Just do what you got to do. Okay, let's look at this next thing. This is going to take it in a different direction. So over here in America anyway, even if you guys don't know, we're rich, okay? We're the rich man trying to enter into heaven. When we can do this on the outside of our homes with shutters and decoration and all of this, right? Where some people just have a mud hut with a thatched roof. Well, here's a symbol of sun worship in our modern homes and designs. There's the little sun and there's this little rays coming out, right? And I will say, because sometimes it's kind of like Scott says, he gets so fed up with them, he goes, what have they not taken over? He's like, they try to take all the colors, all the numbers, all the symbols, all the everything, right? So here's the thing, and it's just like I've said before, even for somebody like me, I'm a hand talker. That's how God made me. And I don't do it so much anymore because I am more aware of it, and God's probably changing me that way. But there's people out there that make hateful videos. And no matter what you do, if you're doing this, they'll freeze frame it some way and then try to, like, Mason. Wow. You can do that to anybody on anything. But here's what I tell you guys. When you see the presidents or the popes or the whoever's standing there posing for a picture and they're doing that kind of junk or they're doing this kind of junk, it's on purpose. It wasn't like they were talking and just got caught that way. Okay? So you do get fed up because they've tried to take everything and make it satanic. But I want you to see how deeply ingrained in our lives and culture this goes. Now, just because this is on your house doesn't mean you're worshiping the sun, okay? We don't have to get all paranoid about it. Like I say, we're in this world, but we're not of the world. Because when you are in Jesus Christ and your heart's on him, the Bible says we're just pilgrims passing through. This life is but a vapor. It's a mist. It's the grass is going to wither and die so fast. Our true life is the one we're going to be living with God forever, okay, in eternity. So, and I know Mr. Billy and Miss Alicia gave me a hard time one time because I said, you can't outrun all the stuff, right? And you can't. We have to still shop. We have to have, and all these people are monopolizing everything. But it doesn't mean that we're serving their God and that we're worshiping these things and that we put any meaning into it, okay? Because our heart is about the Lord. And when that's the case, that stuff don't matter. You don't purposely go seeking that stuff out, but you can't avoid living your life. Like my computer, my laptop is made by Intel with the big swoosh. But guess what? God is using it to reach you guys. So too bad for Satan, right? Okay, let's look at this next thing. This is still about stuff in our homes. And this is symbols for the sun. See those circles with the dots? And we've just thought this is just decoration and things like that, right? To them, in your home, it may just be decoration because we don't put no value in that junk. But to them, they know what it means when they see it. Oh, it's the sun. In their hearts, they, you know what I mean? They lift it up because that's what they believe. It's just they like to flood this world with their symbols and their emblems and all that. And remember, because in Satan's economy, when you're doing that stuff, then that's bringing in more of his demonic power because God's allowing him to do that. And the church, like, went to sleep and quit standing against this stuff. And it really has gotten thick out there, okay? So they have designed their many rituals, signs, codes, symbols, architecture, art, and other devices so that the world around us has become a veritable grand theater of the occult. That's a quote by Tex Mars out of Codex Magica. And that's what they say. They are trying to purposely put as many symbols, corporations, logos, all of it in our world as they can. They're trying on purpose right now to open up portals and open up the pits of hell. Okay? Let's look at this next one. Remember, talking about the sun. So when you look at this picture, the Roman pantheon, this was originally a temple. And today it is a church. And look how extravagant that is. My goodness. Look how, I always think, look at how little the people are. And look at how huge this place is. The interior of the roof is intended to symbolize the heavens. Okay? The great I, remember that G a while ago for Freemasonry? Great architect and all this other junk. The great I, 27 feet across at the dome's apex, is the source of all light and is symbolic of the sun. Its original circular bronze cornice remains in position. The interior features sunken panels, which are coffers, which originally contained bronze star ornaments. So there you would have had the sun, probably at nighttime the moon, and the stars, right? This coffering was not only decorative, however, but reduced the weight of the roof, as did the elimination of the apex by means of the great eye. Now, they have made these things, they said, on purpose to be like the heavens with this eye. That's the sun coming in, their sun worship. Look at another one. This one is in the Vatican. And in this one, when you look at the very center, you can see the sun, you can see the moon, and you also see stars all around this thing. Okay? They are always all together, usually. Now, look at this next one. You know I've talked about these obelisks many times, guys. Look at this one from a more of a aerial view on top of this thing. This is at here in the United States at our Capitol. Now, look at, there's this monument, which is Nimrod's phallus, okay? This is the Washington Monument. And see, there's a circle in the very middle, and it seems like this thing is coming up through the circle, okay? That circle in the occult represents the female body part or the womb, okay? Remember, the occult is all about fertility and perversion. Not fertility like a husband and wife starting to have a family, having a baby, not like that. It's always going to be in a perverted way, okay? The obelisk, those are in honor and worship of Nimrod, the sun god, okay? And they're all around our world. I could break down more on that picture right there, but I'm going to let it go with that. Okay, look at this next building, okay? This is our Capitol building here in the United States. The Capitol and the White House are close by with the pregnant belly, being the Oval Office and the round dome on the Capitol building. Remember, and you're normally going to find both of them within close proximity to each other. You're going to have the male body part, and then you're going to have the aftermath, so to speak, or the female body part, or both. And because she, remember, was worshipped as Mother Goddess, Queen of Heaven. She's the, when you hear people say Mother Nature, because she's pregnant with all of it, give me a break. Okay, here we are in the White House. On the back side of the White House, you have the Oval Office, okay? That's also for the pregnant belly. And it's lined up with the Washington Monument, Nimrod's Phallus, and listen to this. At certain times of the day, and they plan these things on purpose, around the sun and how it's going to move and where the shadows are going to be cast and shoot out, okay? So their shadows, the shadow of that monument penetrating the Oval Office. Do you see how sick they are? So that it's kind of like, oh, it's impregnating. Oh, my goodness, okay? Now, I want to tell you that when you think that sounds crazy, you have to remember that Ashtoreth in our Bibles, the Queen of Heaven, Semiramis, Diana, Athena, all of those names, remember when they killed Nimrod because they were sick of him and his junk, that she then spun this story out that he became the sun. And she was so pure and innocent that she was impregnated by a ray from the sun. Now, you making that connection? That when that monument shoots that shadow over to the Oval Office and impregnates it, that's how sick and ridiculous they are. Okay, moving on. So here is, we see the sun, moon, and stars in artwork and decorations all around this world. Okay, they even have temples. I believe there's a temple to the moon in Mexico. But here we are, this next picture. This one really hit home for me, and Scott knows. This is like the moon, Ashtoreth, okay? And there's the sun, Nimrod. Remember, in the sun, you get a bonus. You get Nimrod and you get Tammuz. This type of artwork is very popular in Mexico. Now, I went down to Mexico once, and you know, you always buy some stuff. I wasn't walking with the Lord. And I bought a big one of these. I thought it was pretty. And then I bought my mom a little one, too. Hung that thing right up in her house. Hung it right up in my house. The whole thing, right? Had no clue what it was, what it stood for, and what I just did. Okay? But praise God for his patience. Because if you walk with him, he'll show you. And part of that cleaning out our house, you know, when you start looking at your books and you start looking at your movies and you start looking at your kids' toys and you start looking at the stuff you spent your money on and you start cleaning out the idolatry, oh, that thing left. It hit the road, okay? And look at this next one. This is the false trinity. You got all three of them right there together. You got Nimrod, the sun, Ashtoreth, the moon, and you got, oh, there's a star. So either way you want to slice it, that one's for Tammuz, or they all can be represented by a star. And so there's all three of them right there. You got mama, daddy, and baby. Look at this next picture, because this was a good representation from offline of daddy, mama, and the baby. You see the man, he's got the sun on his forehead, the woman's got the moon, and the little baby's got the star, right? This reminded me of something in the Bible. Remember Joseph back over in Genesis, okay? He had that dream. He was Jacob's favorite. You got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph was his favorite son. And Joseph was having dreams by the hand of God. Not all dreams are by God's hand. And he still speaks to us in dreams and visions today. But you have to test the spirits to know if it's of him or not. Can't just accept everything. So, and Satan will try to slip that stuff in on Christians to see if you'll take the bait. You can't have that attitude of, well, I serve the Lord, so there's no way it could be from Satan. That's why the Bible says, test the spirits, okay? So, okay, Joseph was having these dreams, and he was sharing them with all of his brothers and with his dad and everything, right? So, remember in one of his dreams, their bundles of wheat bowed down to his. And when his dad heard it, here, let me read this. Genesis 37:10. And he told it to his father, his dream, okay, and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to the earth? See, he was like, what? Because, right, we don't know God's plan. We don't see the big picture. So right then and there, he's like, I don't see no way that we're all bowing down to you, really. I love you, but you're getting a little crazy, right? But listen, and he automatically interpreted that dream. It was, and he had two of them, and it was the sun, moon, and stars who bowed to him. And then Joseph said, Jacob said, me, your mother, and your brothers, sun, moon, and stars. See how it was literally, he was taking that for him, his wife, and those kids. I just thought that was a neat, an interesting correlation. For God's godly people, it was about people. Even though God brought the dream, like symbolic with the sun, moon, and stars, Jacob knew what that meant. But people that are serving Satan are literally bowing down to the sun, moon, and stars in a not the healthy way, you see. He did actually bow because they went through a famine and God positioned Joseph to be able to help his family, okay? So that's a really good story to read. But that was talking about people. But this Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz, it's talking about people too, okay? And the one way that they've hid it is the sun, moon, and stars, and we go around, nobody's worshiping them. Yes, they are. They sure are. Look at this next picture. I really want to bring a message on this sometime. This is from what's called a Tomorrowland event. I believe they've been having these things since about 2005. And they have them in, I think, about four different countries. And the United States is one of them. I want to say Belgium is one. There's like four different countries, okay, y'all? You see Satan's pentagram right there. And it's turned that way. When it's turned this way, that represents Baphomet. Remember the goat head, the boobs? It's the male and female, the hermaphrodite form of him. That's what that represents, Satan. This one, or I'll tell you this. In 2012, they had in attendance 185,000 people to this sort of thing. And I will tell you that when you go to this kind of stuff and you're accepting it and participating in that, that spirit, that demonic energy, that antichrist spirit is certainly going out over all those people because you're there in agreement and in alignment with it. Okay, Christians have no place being at something like that. Okay, if you don't hear it anywhere, you heard it from here. Look at this next one, talking about the Baphomet, that star turned that way. This is called Order of the Eastern Star. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's Freemasonry for women. Because, oh, the women aren't going to be left out. Satan wants everybody, right? He's going to have the men doing their thing and the women doing their thing too. And there's people, I'm telling you what, just as deceived as they can be. We had a lady, she's an older lady, bless her heart, that was coming to our house and giving Kennedy some guitar lessons. And it came up about wanting Kennedy to practice for the Christmas program. And I just told her, you know, oh, that's okay. We won't be participating in that. Well, you'd have thought I, you know, had three heads when I said that. And it happens anywhere you go. If somebody was to tell you Merry Christmas and you say, oh, you know, we don't celebrate that. What? They don't know how to handle you then. They don't know what to do with you. And automatically they think, oh, you don't love Jesus Christ. It's like, oh, yeah, I love him. I serve him. So she was like, and she was fumbling and getting crazy. So then she was like, then she was trying to justify herself. Well, I think it was her mother. Well, you know, she was Eastern Star. I don't play. I said, oh, that's an occult. Then she looked at me, and she's just, I thought, man, lady, you really got it going on. And so we had a nice little conversation. And anyway, she's not her guitar teacher anymore, but it's not because of that. But Kennedy just wasn't at that point. But anyway, it's interesting. Some of the situations you can get yourself into, and the more you know, when you happen across this stuff in casual conversation, be the light. Now, you don't have to get ugly and try to punch them in the gut, but, you know, talk to them and let them know, you know what I know about that, and share with them. They might not like what you have to say, but when they go home and nobody else around, they're going to think back on that conversation, okay? Put the seeds out, y'all. Look at this next picture. This is Masonic Lodges, and this one is showing the Eastern Star, just like we just saw. Okay, for you guys in Texas, don't beat me up. Here comes our next picture. This is our, for the Houston Texans, this is our logo here. Sports logos. Stars are used in everything. And it's not just stars. We talked about the, what's that team called? The Saints, okay? And they have that, the Florida Lee. That represents the false trinity, okay? Because who are these big sports organizations bowing down to? Oh, you get those athletes. Oh, praise God, I'm doing that. Please. You got to look through that stuff, y'all. Some of these people are programmed to do this stuff and keep the people who don't really love Jesus flowing along because they're worshiping them, following them as a fan, okay? Don't be the fan of nobody. Nobody. You bow your knee to Jesus Christ and Him alone, okay? So I want to point out the logos and things and sports teams are right in the mix as well. And not only that, but what is this little thing? Isn't it a bull? Doesn't it have horns? Yeah, yeah. Somebody here was saying Baphomet. Yeah. This all goes back to Nimrod, the horned god. That all goes back to Satan, okay? Now, I will tell Mr. Billy, sorry on the next one, because it seems like I'm going to throw him under the bus. Okay, look at this next one. Here we have, right, our sheriff's badge, okay? And they come in different star, you know, different amounts of points and all this stuff. But this one here has got the six triangles, 6 points. Okay. Used for our police badges. And you'll see the star in all different kinds of shapes and forms around the world for the police. Okay. Now the thing is, and we don't want to beat up all of our policemen, and we know that a lot of them are on the wrong side, but there are still some good ones too, okay? It's the same thing, even in the top government, the military. There's a lot of bad in there, but there's still some good ones mixed in there, okay? So listen to this. Who do you think came up with that symbol and why? Right? The powers that be that are in control on this earth, they're plotting and planning and doing the things that they do on purpose, okay? Now, those in power, they're going to honor their God in as many ways as they can. So look at this next little picture. Because you might say, I thought Baphomet only fit into the 5-pointed star. Well, he can fit either way, depending on how you want to depict him. And I used to not understand. This one shows it a little more clearly. This thing coming out of the back of his head. I was like, what is that? Because sometimes you can't really see that it's supposed to be a torch. Sometimes you're like, what's that, a third horn? What's going on here, right? Well, this member, he's supposed to be the illuminated, the light bringer, the enlightener. That's why he's got a torch coming up out of his head to feel that point going up in the middle. So 5-pointed star, 6-pointed, whatever. It's him. It all goes back to Satan. Okay, look at this next one, you guys, because now we're going to look at some of the big corporations, at least here in America. And what I want to tell y'all is, you know I'm always talking about here in the United States, but and in the next message or two, we're going to get into some stuff that is more around the world, but look around where you're at. Look in your churches. Look in your, you know, in your, the corporations where you are. You're still going to see this stuff. It's not something that's segregated just to the United States. It's in the whole world. So this one is Shell, for Shell Gasoline. where you think that's like a shell that you find on the beach. Yeah, no, sun. It's got sun rays and everything. Remember how they can do stylized? They can make it kind of look different, you know? You know how you can change your writing in different form, and then you can still tell it's the same thing? It's the same thing they do. They play their little game. Look at this next one with BP and the sun worship. Now, this looks like a really big, beautiful flower, right? Yeah, no, sun. It's still the sun. This next one, y'all are all going to know. Walmart. Look at it. And there it is with its little sun over there. Now, Walmart is known for working with the military and the government. Facial recognition, they all have that set up. Their facilities, a lot of them have domes underneath of them, and their facilities can easily be shut down and become a military base or a FEMA camp. In some of my research, it was showing how their computer system, if it needs to be shut down and used for the military, because that's a contract that they signed and made an agreement. Remember how we had like 5 Walmarts or whatever go down a year or two ago with Jade Helm and all that big stink? And don't think nothing happened there. They were behind the scenes doing what they had to do. And there wasn't a lot of explanation given. They trumped up some goofball stories for us. And there wasn't a lot we could do to, you know, come against it. You just got to buy their junk, okay? We don't have to believe it. But they were showing how their computer systems can easily be, like, transferred over and become a system that the military uses to order their supplies and do what they have to do. It's like nothing to it because they set it up that way in the event that that store has to become a base or a camp. Yep. Look at this next one. I know my husband likes to drink coffee. And here we go with Folgers Coffee. And there's the big sun coming up over the mountains, you know. And you could still think, oh, Pastor Sherry, those are just pictures and things, and they had to pick something. Or you can know, yeah, who does that company bow down to? Mm-hmm. Tide laundry detergent. And not only does it have the sun there, it's got that dot, too, with the Tide, right? And here's another one. We've been talking about the Bull plenty today. All of these, most of these energy drinks, most of them, what do you got? Rockstar, Monster. There's some called Demon. Isn't there one called Viper or Venom? Can y'all see? Can you see that? There's one's called Red Bull. And the people that don't have their spiritual eyes on are like, what? And I'm sitting here, everything I'm telling you, all of that stuff's demonic. They're making that stuff on purpose. You need a boost, a shot of energy to your heart. And then when somebody kills over whatever, oh, well, they had too much. Oh, they had an energy drink. And then it's just a blip on the radar, and everybody just keeps on going. Step over the body, keep going, nothing to see here, nothing to see here. Really? Okay. This one. You've got the horned bull, the horned god right there representing Nimrod, the sun, and they've got the sun in there too. All of that's little Nimrod's little motif, okay? And I'm not saying when you drink or buy or do these products that you're bowing down to that, but I want you to see these corporations are bowing down to that, okay? Look at this next one. It's a hotel. There's a lot of these, and I just pulled this one. Days Inn. See the big sun coming out? Here's another one. Don't they have this big parade in, like, New York or somewhere all the time? Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's or something. They're always parading it up. So here's the magic of Macy's. And isn't it interesting that not only do they have this big star over here, they had to put a little one over here. Oh, isn't that cute? Right? For their little apostrophe up there. They also have the word magic. The magic of Macy's. If you read your Bible and you know God, he is 100% against magic. Anytime Harry Potter, I can't beat that little boy down bad enough and all of that junk with his little wand and his snakery stuff and his witchery and sorcery and all that he's doing. That whole thing is demonic, and people are feeding on that stuff. Even in what are touted to be Christian schools. It's pretty sad. And if I was a mom or a dad and my kid was told in a Christian school they're going to read this book, I'd be like, oh, no, no, no. No, we're not. You will give my kid something else to read. We don't play that game. See, why? And the Christians aren't coming. I mean, so the schools are like, well, we're getting away with it. Because who do you think they're serving to? Don't think just because they slap Christian label on it means that they're really serving God. You got to look for the fruit. You got to look for that deception. And if they got your kid reading that kind of stuff, it's straight up deception. Okay, look at this next one. It's going to get busier because somebody put this little collage together for me. So, okay, in these logos, I'm going to point out a couple of them. You got Starbucks. You got Bucks in there, right? Bucks, they are the ones with the horns, all right? Nimrod. You know, this is supposed to be a mermaid, right? But she got two tails, okay? And what do we know about this mermaid business? This mythology, which we've been learning, is mostly factology. Part human and part fish, part animal. That's what the Nephilim, that's what they did when they started doing all their experiments and all of their crossbreeding and all the junk that they did, crossing everything up and mixing it all up. And we think it's just been some fantasy land story tales and things like that. No, it's been real. And when y'all start seeing this stuff, walking out on the streets and doing stuff out in the open, don't be shocked, because you'll remember that we were talking about this stuff. You want to think about what Noah was seeing in his day. They were fighting and battling giants. Giants. And when Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, it wasn't a casual thing. If you really study the word and know what he was talking about. But it's not being brought out in the churches. And so people are just like, oh, yeah. People are going to be getting drunk and partying and getting married. And well, we're already doing that. We've been doing that forever, right? Jesus was meaning, there was a deep meaning when he said, as in the days of Noah. Okay, look at this OnStar, talking about Saturn, which stands for Satan, Nimrod, okay, the sun. Remember, Saturn and the sun both were worshipped as the sun god. Saturn was known as the black sun. It was also known as a star. See, that's where you get the star stuff. The sun, the star, it don't matter. Remember, it's like it all blends together in the same little pot of soup. Here's Heineken over here. And see, remember how Satan likes to do everything upside down and backwards? Like when I was a kid and they'd say, oh, if you listen to that rock song backwards, it's worshiping Satan. And we used to go, oh man, that old lady's crazy. And now we're finding out that old lady wasn't crazy. Okay, it's the same thing. When you take pictures or words and you scramble them, or you turn them backwards, or you flip them upside down, or you take numbers and you reverse them, you find Satan's little symbols and cues and messages. So flip Heineken upside down and you got Baphomet. Also, in the word Heineken, you got three little sixes. Because we think those are just E's, but they think, yeah, those are sixes. They know. Remember, they speak to each other with their little logos and stuff. And I will just say this, with those leaves, you got the false trinity there. You got three of them represented, okay? Look at, now this is going to get even more busier. Look at this next one that somebody put together. And some of these we already talked about. But this is just to give you an idea. These are big companies and big corporations. And look how much of this is in their logos and stuff. They're honoring him by making this part of it. And look at, you know, there's that IHS, which I talked about last week. You know what Miss Joy shared with me about that IHS? She is seeing programmed Christians that are saying, that are using that and saying, oh, that's in his service. Wow, that ain't no in his service. In the service of Satan, and you don't know it, maybe. Remember how they tried to spin that junk out in the Catholic Church? And nope, we said that's Isis, Horus, Set, or Seb. Not no, uh-uh. And they try to say that's for Jesus, that Eos in Greek. and they try to say that that's the first two letters, and then they added that last one, because last week I didn't know what sigma meant. Well, that's what they're trying to say is for the third letter. No, we know what it means. Isis, Horus, and Set, or Seb, either one, they're interchangeable there. Okay, so you see that in all these big corporations. Okay, these companies, they don't just happen to accidentally put the Sun logo or the 666. And see, I didn't even pull examples of the all-seeing eye. I didn't pull examples of the pyramids and the triangles. They are blasted out there in logos and stuff as well. And it all means the same thing, okay? But they're not putting this stuff and picking these logos by accident, okay? I know we prayed over our logo for the church, the name and as well as the symbol. And these corporations, they put thought into what they're doing. Satan is a planner, okay? It's done on purpose, and it speaks and lets them all know we're in the club with you, okay? Who has allegiance to Satan? They're all talking amongst themselves just by doing that. Okay, in closing, I want to hit on a couple of scriptures. Isaiah 27:9. Now, when you read the Bible, you have to remember it has not all been fulfilled. We're living right now in the time of the book of Revelation. We're very close to the tribulation, okay? And there's revelation, or there's prophecy in the Old Testament that has not been fulfilled yet. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, those guys, his prophets spoke what was going to be in the end times. And it hasn't all happened yet. So listen to this, Isaiah 27:9. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob... Now remember, I was talking to you about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God wrestled with Jacob, and he changed his name to Israel. But a lot of times in the Bible, when you hear God talking about Jacob after the time when he had already changed his name to Israel, most of the time it has to do with sin. When he's talking about his sin and his idolatry, usually God refers to him as Jacob. So here he is right here, talking about his sin, and he's calling him Jacob. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob, which is talking about Israel, be purged. And this is all the fruit to take away his sin. This is what God's going to do to take away his sin. When he makes all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder. In the groves and images, the groves and images shall not stand up. So all of these, remember we just had the Arch of Baal moved into New York City. That's an image. That's an altar. Okay? The things that they have around this world. Over there, what is that Pope place? The Vatican? where they have those, who are those? The Roman gods? Because it's in Italy, right? It's all about Rome. Okay, they got those Roman gods up there looking out on that, where that monument is. All of them Roman gods. Same thing. They are going to be beat down, smashed to smithereens, all of that stuff. That's what God's talking about. The groves and the images shall not stand up. You want to talk about some more of that junk? Walk into a Catholic church. You see all them idols. You see where them people been touching the toes and kissing the toes and doing all that stuff. And God's going to smash all that stuff to pieces. That's what he's saying right here in his word. If God said it, like they say, you can take that to the bank. It's going to happen. And these people that say, well, it ain't happened yet. Well, I don't see anything. You just wait. It's going to come to pass. His word doesn't return void. Okay, that's what he's going to do to all of these monuments, these Nimrod's phallus that's placed all around this world. He's going to smash that stuff down. It's going to be taken down and out. Here's another one. Let's look at Jeremiah 43:13. He shall break also the images. And that also means pillars of Beth Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt. And the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. And our God is an all-consuming fire. He is going to take care of this idolatry. He is going to destroy it and wipe it out. So if you recognize it, you see it, you're in it, I would tell you, get out of it and come to Jesus Christ, okay? I want to tell you guys real quick. I want to share this with you. Before we go to prayer, I know before that God called me into this ministry, I was kind of like ministering out online, right? It was already Him working in me and I didn't know it. But I, on my Facebook page and stuff, I would post messages. Like, I'd call them like little sermonettes, right? And I was doing that kind of stuff. But I want to tell you something. There's some of you guys out there who you're not able to get out and about, okay? Maybe you're bedridden, or maybe you're in a nursing home, or maybe, you know, you're fighting a sickness or disease and you mostly have to stay at home. Maybe you're not even able to get out in a church to fellowship. There's a lot of different reasons why. My mama wasn't able to get out and go before she passed away. She was in a lot of pain, and she stayed at home. And I want to tell you something. You guys that have a computer, and you have a way, you think, well, what can I do for the Lord? Okay, prayer is always something you can do. Because you can pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ, just like Paul said to do. We're always supposed to be praying for them around the world. You don't have to know them. You don't even have to know anybody's name. You can just say, Lord, I pray for my persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ and things like that, right? So you can always do that. That's a powerful ministry. If you have access to Facebook, you can't even go on Facebook without seeing somebody needing prayer. Somebody's sick. Somebody lost somebody. Somebody broke up. Somebody's got a heartache. Somebody's in need. There's people on there asking for prayer. You can make that a ministry, okay? You can just say, you know, I'm praying for you. Or you don't have to even tell them. But you can see those things and you can lift them up to God. That can be something that you can do in serving the Lord, okay? Because some people get hung up. They think they have to physically go to a church and do something at that church to honor God. But not everybody is in a position right now in this day and time to be able to do that. So don't think you can't do something for Him and His house and His honor and His glory, even by not being able to go into a church and fellowship, okay? Something else you can do another place is on YouTube. And it don't have to just be our messages. It can be wherever God leads you. You can see people that are not understanding God's word, that are not understanding scripture, or that are asking for prayer on YouTube. You can use those things, as long as you're rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, as a ministry. You can encourage somebody. You can bless somebody with your words. You can pray over them. You know, this is how the body of Christ is supposed to be. We're stronger when we're doing these things instead of just everybody's on their own. It's me and my family. We're getting ours, and too bad for you, right? We got to run this race together, y'all. So those are just some ideas for y'all to pray over and bless other people. And some of y'all, I know you have that gift of encouragement. Encouragement is needed right now in this world so much, okay? So much. Sometimes people even have low self-esteem issues. And this could be some beautiful whoever. Well, guess what? Even Angelina and what's-her-face got dumped. What's that other one? Aniston. Even they got dumped. And, oh, that makes me feel good. I'm like, hey. You know, they thought they had it all going on, and they got cheated on and dumped. You got to walk with the Lord, okay? He's who's going to seal your marriage up and make it whole and make it healthy. Not this Hollywood garbage, okay? So I don't know where that came from, but there it is. Okay, so let's pray, you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we thank You for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. And thank You most of all, Heavenly Father, for providing our sacrifice, who is Jesus Christ, just like You did for Abraham and Isaac. And You said, I'll provide the sacrifice. And thank You, Lord Jesus, for doing the Father's will. Thank You for shedding Your holy blood and redeeming us from the hand of the devil. You paid a high price for us. I like that the Bible says You endured the shame of the cross. You know, people think, oh, He was God. It was a shameful thing. It was a hard thing. He is God and he was God and he always will be. But that don't mean it wasn't hard. And I thank you for doing what you did. Thank you for enduring all of that. For us, we weren't even there at that time, but you knew us way back then because you knew the end from the beginning. And Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. You are sovereign. No one and nothing tells you what to do. Satan answers to you, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I just ask you to help us to recognize idolatry in our lives, in our families, in our homes, in our churches, and in this world. You're going to have a new walk in Jesus Christ when you start seeing all this stuff for what it really is and understanding God's word more fully in this day and age for what it still means to us today. And I thank you, Father, that we don't want to look down on anybody else. We're all at different stages in our growth and in our walk with God. I don't hate the people that are still trapped up in Christmas. I was there one time, and God taught me and pulled me out of it. So we don't hate those that are still that don't get it, that don't understand. It can be, God took Santa Claus out one year for us. And I thought that was it. And then the next year he said, yeah, there's more. Look at this. And it was like, wow. So it was a process, okay? And God don't just, he don't just smack us down and whip us up. And he works on us a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit, okay? So let's have patience with each other. And let's not think just because somebody doesn't understand about something that you already have, they might have revelation on something else that you don't have. That's why we're all growing and we all work together. And we thank you, Father, because it's in your perfect timing that you work on each one of us. And I know for me, I thank you that you work on us gently, Father, that you don't just rip something away from us. But you work on us gently in your time and in your way. And Heavenly Father, help us not to perish for lack of knowledge. First and foremost of you, but second of all of this enemy and what he's doing, his plans to deceive and what he's doing in this world. We want to help our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we want to help the lost and dying souls to come to Jesus Christ, to see this world for what it is and what's going on spiritually, because what's happening in the natural is driven by what's happening spiritually. It happens in the spiritual realm first, and it manifests in the natural realm second. Heavenly Father, I want to lift up Miss Joanne and Miss Jennifer for healing. And Lord, that I don't know too many people who don't need healing. And so I just come before you, Lord, and I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, you still heal. And I'm asking you to touch and heal your children. And we decree and declare that by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. Help us, Lord Jesus, to remember if we don't see healing instantly, sometimes it's gradual. Sometimes it comes little by little. And sometimes it's a process he wants us to work with him. But stand on his word and speak his word and let him know you know his word. It says in his word to put him in remembrance of his word. It's like that little kid reminding you about something you said. And it'll come to pass. He is our healer. Lord, for Christian mates, we have some ladies who are looking for Christian husbands. For Miss Karen and Miss Michelle. And there's got to be guys out there who are looking for Christian wives. Lord, even for men and women who are just dating, and they don't even know if they're ready to be married yet, but they want a Christian mate to spend time with. Lord, I pray for everybody's heart who is seeking your best and seeking you and saying, Lord, send me someone into my life that has a heart for you. I pray that you would answer those needs. We lift those up to you, Father. And this is something to pray over your children, that when the time comes for them to seek a mate, that God, they would seek God's hand of favor and blessing, and that He would send the one that He has chosen. You're not going to mess up when it's the one that God chose. And He knows what you like physically, what you're attracted to. He's not going to stick you with something. You're like, oh man, wow, God, really? He's not going to do that. He's going to give the rounded out package. He knows what your likes and dislikes are. You have to trust Him. Heavenly Father, I want to lift up, there's people that are wanting to know their purpose. For Misty M and Miss Michelle, and there are so many, Lord. I know everyone that comes here to this church in person, and there's many of y'all out there. They want to know, Heavenly Father, their true purpose and their call. You've called every single one of us to do something special for Your glory. And Heavenly Father, I pray that everybody that's heart is seeking that You would show them what You've created them to do is something that they are good at, that they excel at, that they like to do. And when God calls you and shows you what it is, He will equip you. His hand of favor will be on you. You'll know. He'll help you do it. And last of all, Lord, we want to pray for pregnancies, for healthy babies. We want to pray for smooth deliveries. For Miss Jessica. Now, this might sound funny, but for Mr. Mark, he's expecting a grandbaby, I believe his first grandbaby, in February, and they're excited, and they've been getting ready, Lord. And so I want to pray for those babies, Lord, that they would be healthy and that those homes would be blessed, because babies are blessings from God. Lord, we just pray for You to watch over those babies, Lord. Bless those homes and help them to raise them up in Your will and Your ways. And Heavenly Father, all through all of this, I ask You, Father, to help us to remember You and deliver us from our enemies when we submit to You. This is what I'm asking for us to remember, to submit fully to You. Because when we do that, the Bible says, submit yourselves to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee. The key to that is submitting yourself to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask You, Lord, to bless those that are listening to this message. Touch their families. Touch their lives, Father. Speak to them in such a way that they know that You spoke to them. Be more real in their life, Father. Give them greater revelation of You. I thank You for meeting Your children's needs always. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen. Hey, you guys. I just want to take a minute to... let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord and you went away from Him and you just kind of left it behind and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does His part and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot, and even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved. I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, we all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, but I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people. That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says for our righteousness, that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, but we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. That's that thing that stinks that you're like, ooh, get it out of the house, right? Filthy rags to Him. Okay, and He's the standard. He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss His mark and we don't please Him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments,
Now, we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? That's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie, that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, did you do that? Did you break this? No, not me. Bam. So come on, you know. So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all. Because that's all it takes to separate you from him as one. Okay, so let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose again, and you are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for you all the days of my life, and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, that prayer, you prayed to Jesus in his name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit. Okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10, 9 and 10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus, okay? And in order to do that, you want to hear his voice, right? You want to hear him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear his voice. And how you hear his voice? Read his word. That's his words written down for you and I to read. That's his voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay? Then when you pray, you speak to him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to him. He's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going. Okay? And you want to do that every day. Every day, seek him. You seek him by reading his word and praying and letting him know, I want more of you. When you read the Bible, ask him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And he'll help you understand his word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible. Okay, they believe in the Bible and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God, okay, and that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life, okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when, so now that I asked, it's all already done. No. You need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies, so we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day, at some point during the day, say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins, and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart, and you talk to him just like you and I would talk, okay? You don't have to have fancy whatever, all right? And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony, okay? God bless y'all.